You can now hear Film Actually on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
From here on, it gets pretty normal. Offices, storerooms, a nice false front. I count to three.
Hello, if I want you.
I open that door, we move out.
Everybody got that.
Ready? Follow the leader. One, two, three. We may be trapped.
It'll be much less terrifying if you just come to me.
Wolfman's got
me. Make love in the hammock.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Actually, episode 108 for the 13th of November, 2010. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm better now. I've had more caffeine, and it seems less hot. I don't know whether that's just because I'm getting used to it.
I think we're just adapting.
Yeah.
For those who haven't listened to the tech show, which we recorded prior to this one, Tech Actually, which you can find at iTunes or look at geekactually.com, it's bloody hot. Right?
It is bloody hot.
It's bloody hot. And it's hotter, getting hotter by the minute because, of course, in this studio surrounding us, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 computers, an additional monitor, 2 iPads, and a partridge in a pear tree.
No, I wouldn't really blame the iPad.
No, the iPads don't get hot. But we also have studio lights. We have coffee in the corner. We have a water cooler. Everything generates heat. If it draws power, it generates heat. And, of course, we have all the doors and windows closed. And I can hear that lawnmower already. Hopefully it's not coming through on the audio recording, but I can hear the lawnmower.
Not too bad.
We'll get through it. There is a lawnmower guy out the window. So hopefully we'll just blitz our way through and see how we go.
We'll be fine.
Okay, so what is this? This is the official movie podcast of the Geek Actually Network. This is where we get together. We geek out a little bit on some of the film news that's around. We call it the Entertainment Buzz. We do a film review. This week we actually have 2 film reviews. We're going to review Machete. And we're also going to review the George Clooney, as a complete polar opposite, we are going to review the George Clooney film, The American. We also, of course, have our new list of 5, which we will come up to a little bit later on. First off, though, we're going to just do a quick, because in the tech show we discovered we really have to separate these two things, otherwise they kind of diffuse each other. So I'm going to do ours up front, and then Josh will do his at the end of the show. David Storms America, we talked about this last week. This is where we're trying to raise money to send let's just say one of us. How's that sound? One of us to the States to get in the face of the other podcast professionals out there so that they become aware of our existence. And we want to go and try and visit the Smod Castle, Kevin Smith's podcasting house, Leo Laporte at Petaluma. We want to try and get over to New York, Salt Lake City, to see Scott Johnson, New York to see, of course, Natalie Del Conte. We want to just try and get out there and really meet all these people. Let them know we're real. Let them know we exist. If you want to donate to this, any amount is helping. We've had $100 worth of donations this week. So, and thank you to all of those who have donated. It is much appreciated. You can go to the geekactually.com front page, front and center, right there on the front page. You'll see the donation link. We also have an article called David Storms America, The Plan, which you can read, which helps explain it a little bit more. We will be putting up an update to that soon. We'll keep you informed as to what's going on with all of that. So that's all exciting, and hopefully we'll make that happen. If you have a bit of flush, you've got a little bit of money burning a hole in your pocket, want to know what you can give your money to, hey, we're taking money. All right, so... All right, so, and I really hate the panhandling part. Can I just tell you, I feel really uncomfortable doing it. So, just to let you know, I'm swallowing my pride and dying inside having to do this. All right, anyway, let's move on. Our first review of the day is the new Robert Rodriguez film, although it's hard to say Robert Rodriguez film because it's actually co-directed. I think Robert Rodriguez is probably the prime mover here, but it's directed by Robert Rodriguez and Ethan Maneke. It's called Machete, and it's written by Robert Rodriguez and Alvaro Rodriguez. It stars Danny Trejo. Now, I'm going to massacre some of these names. I just want you to know because, you know, I'm not Spanish, all right, or a Spanish speaker, but we'll try. We'll do our best here. Actually, now I'm looking over this list, only one Spanish name here, so it doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
I was about to say, dude.
Danny Trejo is our star. He's Machete. Robert De Niro, Jeff Fay, Jessica Alba, Steven Seagal, Michelle Rodriguez, no relation to Robert Rodriguez. I guess Rodriguez is kind of like Smith in Mexico.
We all know that by now.
Cheech Marin, Lindsay Lohan, and introducing Don Johnson. Which I think is one of the funniest credits ever written. But anyway, to find a summary on this, I went to our friends at IMDb, and a user called the Massey Twins put up this description. So
wait,
I thought
one
this,
user called the Twins?
I assume it's their twins, but it's just the Massey Twins on IMDb. So I thought I'll steal theirs because it sounded okay. It says, 3 years ago in Mexico, determined Federale Machete is betrayed and set up by his boss, resulting in his wife and child being murdered by drug kingpin Torres. Now in Texas, Machete resurfaces when hired to assassinate Senator McLaughlin, an extreme... Isn't it funny? I have trouble with his name, and he's not. an extreme advocate against illegal immigration. Once again betrayed and set up, Machete plots to his revenge against the men who've wronged him with the help of resistance fighter Luz, ICE agent Sartana, and the shotgun-toting Padre. So
played by Cheech Marin.
Played by Cheech Marin,
who is awesome.
And I have a trailer, so let's have a quick look at the trailer. And there's about 40 billion trailers for Machete out there. I just kind of picked one. This was like one of the last ones. It's not my favorite, but it was hard trying to determine which one to use. So, but here we go. This is one of the trailers.
Federal agent. Ruled by a sense of destiny. Machete. I know what they did to your family. Machete. I know the legend. That's him.
CIA, FBI, DEA all roll up in the womb.
He's coming after us.
I will testify.
Okey-dokey. Now, we go into Machete with a little bit of trepidation because let's be careful here. We can't judge the film as a fine piece of art. The film is designed intentionally to be a 70s grindhouse movie.
Oh, yes.
And it succeeds on that in spades. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, Robert Rodriguez knows exactly what he's doing. Now, for those who don't know, and there's very few of you who don't, although... to be fair, the film bombed, so I guess maybe there's a few who don't. This started life as a fake trailer. If you ever watched the film, and now in Australia, they didn't release it as one combined film. I saw it, and I was lucky enough in 2007 to see it in Man's Chinese Theater in LA, and I got to see the Grindhouse experience. For Australia, they broke the two films up and released Planet Terror and released Death Proof. On the Planet Terror DVD, the Machete fake trailer is intact, so they have actually still included it. It was actually on the Grindhouse Experience. They put the two films together. It was a double feature, and they had fake trailers directed by big names. Edgar Wright directed one. Robert Rodriguez directed one. They go on. There was a few of them, and some of them were very funny. Machete was actually one of them because it had the killer line in the trailer, which is "They fucked with the wrong Mexican," which is just brilliant. And Robert Rodriguez got a bit of a hard on for making this a real film, and he finally got it off the ground and he raised the money and he made Machete what it is. And some of the clips in the film are straight from that fake trailer that he's just lifted. Somebody actually pointed out, and I have to see the film again to confirm this, but I was listening to a radio show, and the reason why I also bring this radio show up is because one of the hosts of that radio show actually put a review on iTunes for us. She listens to us. Aww. So I thought that was really lovely. But I was listening to the most recent episode, and the gentleman who was reviewing, I don't know if they want me mentioning the show or not. That's why I'm skirting around it. If they send me an email saying it's fine, then I'll promote them, no problem. Yeah. But they actually, he actually said that the clips from the fake trailer were lifted, put into this film, even though some of the cast was changed. So as an example, when Machete is in the pool with the two girls, that's not Lindsay Lohan, because the wide shot is from the fake trailer. So that's whoever the bimbo was in the fake trailer. But when they cut him for the close-up, it's Lindsay Lohan.
Because I'm going to have to
rewatch that now.
Well spotted.
Now, I don't know if that's actually true or not, so I'm going to go and rewatch that, and I will actually let you know.
I just want to say, I can't overlook this line anymore because I'm actually really proud of him. James from Melbourne put in a perfect description for Grindhouse, which is, it's a Big Mac, not MasterChef. That's so true. It's
fantastic.
It's fast food. It's fast food cinema.
Which rolls into our list of five beautifully later on. We'll come back to that.
it's fast food cinema. And that's exactly what this film is about.
That's right. If you go into this film expecting a film, quote unquote, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you go into this film expecting just a rollicking good ride and don't expect anything of real substance to it, you're going to have great fun.
Absolutely.
Now, pre-warned, this film is bloody, bloody, bloody. Bloody, bloody, bloody violent.
Yes.
All right. So it's guts and gore and beheadings and intestines being ripped out. And it is really over-the-top violence. Yep. But it is so over-the-top, you can't take it seriously.
No.
There's not one point where you can take this film seriously, including the porn music, chicka chicka wow wow music that comes up every time he starts talking to a girl.
Look, I mean, let's lay it down what this film has in it. You've got... You've got a Mexican guy running around killing basically everybody in his path. You've got him sleeping with every female cast member in the entire movie, I think. I don't think there's actually an exception.
I don't know if he actually sleeps, quote unquote, sleeps with Jessica Alba. He sleeps with her. But I don't think he actually...
So my point is still valid. Okay. There's still scenes.
I don't think he has coitus with Jessica Alba.
Not then, but it's implied later that they might. Anyway, look, it's not the point. The point is, there's that. You have explosions. You have death. Like, you have everything from an 80s action film done 10 times more powerfully. And look, I mean, Dave... We both agreed when we walked out of there. I mean, when was the last time you walked into a movie that stupid and saw a standing ovation at the end of the film?
We saw a media screening of this, so these are hardened critics. A lot of them. And they were applauding at the end. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
The reality is you can't take the movie seriously. Like, you can't look at this film and judge it the way you would a normal film. Mm. It is absolutely ridiculous in every aspect, and that's what it's trying to be. And, like... In the same way Grindhouse is...
Now, I've got to admit, I'm a huge fan of Grindhouse.
Yeah.
I saw it twice at the cinema in 2007 when I was in the States because I thought, I'm never going to get a chance to see this again. And then I bought them on DVD when they came out. I love them. I mean, particularly Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror. I have a particular soft spot for that one. I think he really nailed it. And I think this will sit beautifully in complement to those two films.
Well, I think that there's a real... Like, what people are forgetting is there is a real place in our society for Grindhouse films. Like, I mean... I actually miss, like, we've got to the point now where we take films so seriously and we don't give any, like, people will walk out of a film and go, yeah, well, that was obviously CG. Like, got to the point where that's a standard thing. And everyone that we know, they will just believe that a film is not good if it has this kind of thing. And there's a whole bunch of us that are still into that 80s action film, the, you know, sort of ridiculous over-the-top violence and, you know, the unnecessary sex scene and the complete unnecessary portrayal of women. It's like, I mean, you know, like, I'm being stupid about that, but what I'm saying is it's just, it's in the nature to just watch something stupid.
We
go to the movies on a Friday night to watch something
absolutely
stupid.
And what I love about Rodriguez is he's completely in touch with that. Well, I was about to say he's in touch with that, but no, I was about to say he's completely balanced.
Yeah.
He'll have all the exploitation of the fact that, let's face it, Lindsay Lohan is naked.
Yeah.
I mean, head to toe naked for 90% of the movie, yeah. Okay? And I have no problem with that at all, mind you. And her mother is naked. Yeah. Not her real mother, her character's mother, you know? And there's nudity all the way, and the hip woman in the opening scene is naked from head to toe, yeah. Which is also one of the best sight gags in the film, by yeah. the way. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But the point is that, as well as all of that, he then has them being the most ass-kicking chicks.
Yeah.
On the cinema at the moment. You've got Rodriguez kicking ass,
balance...
and Alba kicking ass. And, you know.
Exactly. That's why the balance works so well. Mm. It's like no character in this movie is kind of shadowed unnecessarily. Everyone in this film has the ridiculous side to it, and that's why I loved it so much. I love the violence I love the fact that he takes simple ideas as well. It's like parts of this film are just for the laughs. Mm. Like the idea of having... Cheech Marin as a priest is in itself comedy, like before he even does anything, and then from there on,
and all the little sight gags are like in the priest's office, he shows the TVs the closed circuit TV system, and the TVs are arranged in the cross, you know? It's like you sit there and go, it is so dumb.
Yeah.
And yet you sit there and go, ah, ha, ha, ha.
But it's clever. And yeah. That's why it's a totally different experience. It's not just stupid. Like, you can tell the difference between when you go and see something like, I hate to mention this movie because I can't say how many times I will never watch this film again, but something like Vipers, which is a bad, sort of B grade film that probably got a reasonable amount of money, like enough to at least film it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a film that he would make because. Even if it is on a lower budget, the man has learned how to make you laugh and enjoy the film, even though it's silly. Like, and it's everybody must understand there's a difference between that being a simple concept and that being, like, driven home really well. And that's what Robert Rodriguez does so well. It's like when you're watching this film, all of the little side gags, all of the funny moments... they all work because they're so well thought out. Mm. Like, no scene in this movie was just chucked in and gone, oh, we'll just do that. He's thought about all these moments, and he's taken the time to craft them.
And he's
gone
places that you didn't... that no other filmmaker would dare go. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
He has balls bigger than anyone nowadays.
Huevos. he's got big huevos, man. All right, so, I mean, let's face it, Rodriguez is a man to himself. He's a studio to himself. He makes films in Texas.
Yep.
He's away from the studio system. He does everything in-house. And he gives him a great latitude of freedom.
Yeah.
And for he wants to do a film like Machete. And he gets all his friends involved. I mean, let's face it. Who else but Rodriguez could have conned Robert De Niro and Jeff Fay? And let's face it, Steven Seagal has not been on the big screen since 2002. Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Everything has been straight to DVD fodder. He's not been on a big screen film. Yep, here he is, back on screen again. You know, Don Johnson. How did he drag Don Johnson back into this? You know,
because they all know. Like, there's a part of all of us that can understand the concept of enjoying a silly film. It's like if you take out the part of you that's paying attention to that and being like, how serious is this? And like, do I believe the character's motivations? When you take that out. Everyone has the ability to watch a silly film.
And I also love the fact that not only does he have the huevos to talk, to even approach somebody like De Niro and say, hey, do you want to play a racist in my film? And get him to agree. But he goes to Lindsay Lohan and says, I want you to play a coke-snorting whore who spends the entire film naked.
Yeah.
Shades of anything we might be familiar with? And she goes, okay.
Yeah. You know? Well, like, I mean... In her defense, it's kind of like, now that you are, you may as well lap it
up. Which is a reason why she may not want to portray it on screen, though, you know. But yeah, he talks her into it. He gets her there, you know. It's like, the man is remarkable. And look, I don't think we could ever accuse Rodriguez of trying to make fine cinema. He doesn't do that. That's not what Rodriguez does.
He doesn't
want
to. No. He doesn't want to.
The closest he's probably come to being a art film would probably be Sin City. But even that... still skirts that boundary of that grindhouse so closely.
Mm.
It's a great experiment, and I loved Sin City, but he doesn't make that kind of film. If you go to a Rodriguez film expecting anything other than what you get, then you've been reading the wrong literature.
Yeah. So but the other thing I wanted to talk about, Dave, because we need to put aside 2 or 3 minutes just to talk about Danny Trejo. Because
love the man.
The man, this is the first time we've seen him in a main role. And you know what? I want to see more of him. I want him in this kind of film, and I want him right up there with the best, because that man played an awesome action character. Mm. And you know what? He handled it. I expected bad dialogue. I didn't get terrible dialogue.
Well, to be fair, they did the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan the Barbarian thing, which was give him very little to say. You know? Yeah,
but his lines weren't delivered like... I'm sorry, dude, but Schwarzenegger, even those lines, he can fuck up.
No, that's true. And let's I mean, minor spoilers here. We're not going to give too many spoilers for this film because some of it is the discovery of the film. Mm. But one of the best lines, I think, delivered in cinema in the last 10 years comes from this film where she says, text me when you're ready. And he goes, machete, don't text. It's one of the best lines in cinema. And it's just his delivery. You go, okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's he just plays a hard ass and he does it perfectly. And he handles the action scenes well. And he's very believable as a big fucking Mexican. And that's what he does.
I was actually surprised. So I got to tell you, I was very surprised. I didn't realize, and I've seen Danny Trejo in a lot of films, but I didn't realize how short he is.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's a stocky as hell guy. Yeah. But he always strikes me as being, because they always refer to him as the big Mexican, you know? But he's actually really short. Mm. And you put him up next to like Cheech Marin and stuff, and he isn't that much taller, you know? So I was actually very surprised at that. But he's huge.
Yeah, he's huge.
Just broad.
He's just, yeah, you would not want to go up against that man. He would beat the crap out of you. And I know he's an actor. It doesn't matter. It's Bruce Willis.
He has a pretty rough past, though.
I still wouldn't mess with him.
He wasn't always an actor. He has a pretty rough past.
Yeah. Look, dude, I'm going to say, apart from the last 10 minutes, which, as we've discussed, look, I know this film is trying to be stupid and silly.
Okay, agreed. Look, we'll just very quickly... Josh and I've come to kind of agree with him over the last few days. I've been thinking about it. It kind of unravels in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. And it kind of loses you because you're really with it and the jokes are funny and it's really bringing you along for a ride. And then it's like, and I completely understand this and I don't actually have a problem, but it really does fall apart in the last 10 minutes where you're kind of just going, I have no idea what's going on anymore and I'm not like...
It is an orgy of violence.
Yeah.
And basically, he just keeps reintroducing every character from throughout the entire film into this last scene. Mm. And it doesn't matter if it makes any logical sense that they're there or not. Just keep throwing them in. Keep just making it more and more extreme. And so you kind of, by the end of it, going, okay, it's fun, but it's out of its mind. Yeah. Whereas up until then, even though it's silly, it is telling a coherent story. Mm. And I think it's kind of a situation where he introduced too many side things and too many actors and didn't quite know how to wrap it all up. But I don't think that takes away from the fact that
it's fun. I think this film was done really quickly. Yeah. And it was thrown together, you know, as low as he could do a budget. And, you know, with all the special effects he wanted in it. So, look, I mean, it makes sense. And I don't hate the film because it's the kind of film where you kind of look at it and go, look, they've thrown together a lot of funny gags and side things. And you've pulled this out of a concept you threw together as a trailer. Mm. And I don't hate it. It's trash cinema. It's trash TV. And I really enjoyed it for that matter. And I will be suggesting this to any one of my friends that has even a small funny bone in them.
I agree. And I recommend this too. I look at it and go, if you just want to go and have a bunch of fun, just go and have a bunch of fun. If you're the sort of person who likes Tarantino films or you've liked past Rodriguez films, it's not going to disappoint you. Just go, have fun, enjoy the dialogue, enjoy the silly situations, enjoy the campness of the whole thing, and you'll have fun. If you're looking for something a little bit more serious, listen to our second review.
Yeah.
Because our second film this week is a little bit more grounded. All right. So, but yes, recommended. All right. I think we'll move on from there. I'll just say that it's recommended.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a really, really quick roundup of Film Buzz this week. We don't have very much to talk about. We're just going to fly through some of these stories. Now, where are we? The first one I'm going to say, and this is quite important to everybody, is that Uncle Dino, as I affectionately call him, or Dino De Laurentiis, the Italian Uber producer, has passed away this week. And this is a picture of Uncle Dino here. Dino De Laurentiis is responsible for quality films as well as junk films. I mean, the man produced something like 500 films in his career, spanning right back to Fellini films in the 60s. We don't know the cause of death. We assume it's just old age. He was 91 years old. His family have not released the cause. But he'll be missed. I think he was a legend. I mean, the bottom line is he's a legend in the industry.
Absolutely. And I mean, even when you go past, in my mind, the more like serious films that he produced and so on and so forth, when you go to that trash that he brought out, I have to say that the second you brought me into that world and showed me these films, and I have been forever changed by some of the ridiculous stuff he's put on screen, I actually have to thank him, because without someone with the balls to bring out something that ridiculous, you wouldn't have a marker for what is just silly fun.
Well, let's have a little look at his film career. I'm doing this off the top of my head, by the way, guys, because I don't have his filmography in front of me. Mm. But along with quality stuff like La Strada and 3 Days of the Condor in the 60s and 70s, this is the man who also produced the 1976 remake of King Kong. He's the man who produced the remake of Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
He brought us the Dune film in the early 80s. He was the one who really kind of relaunched David Lynch's career.
Yeah.
We won't hold it against him because the film was actually pretty good. Unfortunately, Lynch went off on his own after that. But he produced Blue Velvet after the crash and burn that was Dune. Mm. He gave Lynch a second chance and brought Blue Velvet to the world, which was actually a very good film. He also produced things like Death Wish, The Serpent's Egg. You know, I mean, he was right there. He was producing quality stuff on one hand and schlock stuff on the other. But his schlock stuff was always done very grandiose.
Yeah.
The man worked with very big budgets, and he had no fear of putting stuff out.
When you look at that picture on screen of him, if you throw that back up.
I'll put it back up. Let me just find it again.
The man in his face has just no fear of anything.
No.
He will just do what he wants. And the man had a direction and a belief and a concept in his mind of what he wanted. Mm. And, you know, he just did it. And there are very few people in the world that can say that in their life.
We also have to look at it from another point of view as well and say if it wasn't for people like Dino De Laurentiis, or in particular Dino De Laurentiis, we wouldn't have been brought to the world people like Carlo Rambaldi, who was a special effects man, who Dino brought from Italy, and Carlo Rambaldi won an Oscar for creating E.T.
Yeah.
You know, so it's and the aliens from Close Encounters.
Yeah.
And the world would not have had Carlo Rambaldi if it wasn't for Dino De Laurentiis bringing him to light.
Well, I have to say, I will miss him because without him, the world will be a different place.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad. There is kind of a sad part of me because there is a lot of people who only associate him with the crap.
Mm.
And I think there was much more to Dino De Laurentiis than that.
Yeah.
He is, his daughter is still around with us, Raffaella De Laurentiis, and Raffaella is a producer in her own right.
Yeah.
So we'll probably still see a lot of stuff coming from DEG, or De Laurentiis Entertainment Group, because Raffaella still produces. So, you know, we'll still see De Laurentiis stuff, but we won't have Dino driving it. So, anyway, so I just thought we should just pay our respects to the man. We don't do a lot of obituaries. We do some only when they're really impactful, the big ones. I'm not interested in doing every single person who dies every week because we lose a lot of people all the time, but there are moments where you sit there and go, boy, that is a significant piece of history, you know. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up was, actually, I will save the trailer for just 1 second. The other thing I wanted to bring up was The Walking Dead. We put an article up on geekactually.com this week. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on the show, about the fact that the second season was having competitions to get a walk-on role as a zombie and stuff like that. But it was still not official. This week, AMC made it official. They released a press statement basically saying that the numbers on the pilot episode of The Walking Dead TV series, 5.3 million viewers. It is the highest number of viewers for any basic cable show in history. It's the highest number of viewers for any AMC show in history. They are incredibly happy. And after the second episode, they already committed to a 13-episode second season. So it is now greenlit. The second season is a go. And it's here for a while.
That's how it should be.
So now the trailer that I was alluding to, I actually didn't think we would get another one because the film is only 4 weeks away now. But apparently Disney feels that we need another one. So here is the new trailer for Tron Legacy. And I saw this one. My son, I think, summed this trailer up. Basically said, what did he say? He said something along the lines of, ooh, it doesn't get much better than that. Or something like that. And he's only 11. So it's pretty cool. So here we go. Here's Tron Legacy.
What do you say? Tomorrow, you and I hit the arcade. First game's on me.
Can we play doubles on the same team?
We're always on the same team.
Good evening. Our lead story, Kevin Flynn, was reported missing. The visionary ICOM and ENCOM CEO skyrocketed to the top of the tech industry. He was last seen at home with his son, Sam, leaving behind an empire and a now orphan little boy.
Sam, I was Paige last night. Paige came from your dad's office at the arcade.
Alan, you're acting like I'm going to find him sitting there working.
Where am I? Long time.
You have no idea.
The Grid. A place of infinite possibility.
It's incredible.
More beautiful than I ever dreamed. And more dangerous than I ever imagined.
What happened?
My creation turned against me.
Kevin Flynn! Where are you now?
What am I supposed to do?
Survive.
We have to get you out of here.
Up there! There's a new world!
Here they come!
Up there! Yeah! Is our destiny.
Combat, 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 combat. We're seeing combat now.
I have to say that I'm with them, the chat room at the moment. I agree. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
And I just, there's so little way you could screw that up in my eyes. I'm going in as a kid, for Christ's sake.
I don't care about the acting. I don't care if he's wooden. I just want to see the combat. I want to see the light cycles.
I want to see light cycles. I want to see people fighting with discs. That's all I'm there
Absolutely.
For. Fuck everything else,
I want to see the grid, man. Bring on the grid.
And off the grid.
And off the grid. Yes.
I'm very excited.
I'm very interested. Okay, one little bit of news real quick. Dune, as the Americans would say, has lost its director. Again, if you remember, Morrell, the director of Taken, was signed to make the new version of Dune. Mm. He's now walked away from it. He's saying he's still interested in producing, but he's not interested in directing. And all I can think is, boy, this is the 1980s and 70s.
Isn't it just?
All over again.
Yeah.
Where they went through director after director after director until they finally got Lynch to make that version. Everybody bailed on it because it's an unfilmable book, you know? Yeah. And it's like, they're having such trouble getting this off the ground. So I am predicting right now that I don't know if this is going to happen. I think the Dune.
We'll
and
see.
The interesting part of this is that I think it's Paramount is really struggling to get this off the ground fast because apparently they're about to lose the rights. And this is why they're trying to get it off the ground, because if they don't get it made by next year, the rights revert back to the Herbert Foundation or the Herbert family, and that's it. They've lost it, and somebody else is going to have to buy the rights. And apparently the Herberts have already said that they're not interested in renewing the contract. So they're really desperate to try and make this happen, and they're not having much luck. Mm. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to happen somehow. Now, one more video really quickly. This was just an ad from Television in America. I so want to see this. Encore in America. It actually aired last night, I believe, in America, so I don't know when we're getting it here, but I'm sure there are many sources you'll be able to find this, whether it be Hulu or what have you. This is a documentary about ILM, and Ooh. I am so keen to see this and watch this documentary, this trailer, this ad for this show, and tell me you don't want to see this.
In 1975, George Lucas had a dream. It became an empire, and filmmaking as we know it would never be the same. For the past 35 years, Industrial Light and Magic has created some of the most iconic imagery that cinema has ever seen.
ILM was born out of a rebirth of the beginning of cinema, which is to say, it's all a trick, and we're the tricksters.
ILM started a revolution and an evolution that began to move faster than the speed of light.
The ability to make us believe what we see is the true genius of what these guys do.
Industrial Light and Magic, creating the impossible. An Encore original documentary, premiering November 12th.
I want to see
do
it.
Do want.
Want it. So, yeah, I'm going to have to start digging. I got to see where this is going to show. We have Encore on Foxtel in this country, so I'm hoping it will show up here soon. Callison says Dune shouldn't be a film. It should be redone as a good miniseries, not like that last crap. I would go with that, too.
I never saw the last one. I just avoided
it. I didn't hate the last miniseries, but it's very highly stylized, like almost like a stage show. It didn't quite hit the mark, but at least it was more accurate to the book. Yes, I would like to see... I'd like to see it. Yes, Callison says, as an amateur animator, if he can't work for Blizzard, he'd love to work for ILM. Damn straight.
Yep.
No, ILM are brilliant, and I cannot wait to see that documentary. All right, let's move into the second film review, because the day is going to get past us, and we're going to be running over. By the way, that lawnmower is not so loud. I'm impressed. Okay, our second film. Normally we only do one film review, but this week we had to go see this film. We both of us really wanted to see it. It's a film called The American. Now, it's directed by Anton... Now, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Anton Corbin?
Corbin.
And written by Rowan Joffe and based on the novel A Very Private Gentleman by Martin Booth. It stars George Clooney, Violante Placido, Johan Leysen, Paolo Bonacelli, I think it is, and Thekla Rutan. Now, I should have put the disclaimer that I'm going to massacre all these names before this movie. It's very European. And our synopsis this week comes from Jay Haley on IMDb. This was actually like last week. This was a really hard film to find a decent synopsis of because a lot of people didn't understand it, I don't think. Mm. But this was about the closest we could find. After he survives an ambush beside a remote Swedish lake, an American hitman goes to Rome and contacts his control, Pavel, who sends him to an Abruzian town with the warning, no friends. He takes one look and goes instead to the nearby Castelvecchio, where he poses as a photographer and waits for his control to take care of the Swedish problem. While waiting, his control gives him a job constructing a special weapon for a Belgian assassin. He converses with the town's priest, and he spends the occasional night with Clara, a local prostitute. After the priest calls him out on his profession, and the Swedes get a line on his whereabouts, is it time to get out? Mm. It's about the closest we could come to a synopsis on this. It's actually an interesting one because when you watch the film, your immediate reaction is he's a hitman. But then in the film, he doesn't actually hit anybody, but he is making a weapon. So is he a weapons maker or is he a hitman? He is a hitman.
Yeah.
But he also makes weapons. He's a craftsman. And what he's doing...
I thought that he was just a professional.
He was like a professional, absolutely. Hmm. And in this particular case, because one line gives the whole thing away, which is where his control says, I've got another job for you. You don't even have to pull the trigger this time.
Yeah.
So, in other words, he does both things.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to trailer here. Now, I just want to say before we play this trailer, Josh, take note of the voice of Pavel in this trailer, because this is obviously an American trailer, and they've revoiced his controller with an American accent. So obviously, because his controller is Italian, and he's got this very thick accent. And so obviously for the trailer, they wanted it much clearer, the things he was saying. And so they revoiced it with an American revoicing it, which is a very odd thing to do, I think.
Wow.
But anyway, here's the trailer. And just a warning, there's two trailers available for this. The other trailer is completely misleading. The other trailer is action-packed and shows guns being pulled out, and it's all really fast-paced. And all. That's not the film.
Yeah, that's right? So far from the film.
That's so far from the film. This is a much more accurate trailer. Here we go.
Hello?
It's Jack. I want out.
Consider it your last job.
You don't even have to pull the trigger.
You're an American.
Let's say, a working vacation.
You have the hands of a craftsman. You are good with machines.
I do have a good head.
The Belgians think someone might have put a tail on you.
You've got a long list of enemies, Jack.
I told them no one gets close to you.
They don't.
You're a good man, but you have a secret.
You have done much sinning.
All men are sinners. Everything I've done, I've had good cause to do. I can't stay forever.
Take me with you.
A man can be rich if he has God in his heart.
I don't think God's very interested in me, Father.
Okay, so Josh was just telling me during that trailer that Rotten Tomatoes is giving it what?
Well, actually, I'd like to go a bit further. I immediately, when I finished watching this film, I'm going to go straight out and say that I adored this film, and it will be going in my top films of this year. because I love the concept and I love the way it was shot. I love everything about it. We'll go into more about that soon. But I jumped online because I wanted to see what the general consensus is. And
as
both Rotten,
do,
Tomato, yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb are all giving this terrible rating. 6.4, 6.9.
Well, 6.9 is not bad. That's almost about 7. Yeah, that's almost a 7. That's not bad.
Now, when you actually...
I'm closer to the 9s.
Yeah, yeah. You know? when I actually read through some of these reviews, things like boring, drab, quiet, not much happens, things like this, I was reading it just going, I believe that this is the same sort of thing that happened with Splice, which is that people have seen a trailer and just immediately think that's what it's about, you know, and that...
Yeah, it's a misjudgment of the film.
Exactly. And if you went in there thinking you were going to see a lot of action, you would have walked out hating that film because it's really slow. And I mean, that trailer there sells that a lot better.
Slow has negative connotations. It's a very languid film. It takes its time to get where it has to go.
But that is one of the most important things about the film, is the fact that it is all about a man whose profession is about being patient, waiting.
That's right, you know?
Exactly. And it's a really, really well shot film.
Calling this slow is kind of like calling Waiting for Godot slow.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, it's kind of meant to be, you know?
It's one of those films, it's just so beautifully shot. It's just, every scene is just has layers of effort put into it. And it's just beautiful, long, sweeping shots, great work with camera filters and ways that they've shot the films. It's like if there's scenes with action, they're all shot completely differently.
And it's a really old-fashioned film. It doesn't have lots of shaky handheld camera work. It doesn't have lots of digital work in it. It's a straight, very simple story, very simple characters, you know, very simple plot to follow.
Yeah.
And you just got to be patient with it and let it take you there.
I fell in love with George Clooney's character. He is just such, he's such a quiet, like, I mean, it's in the title, you know, a very private gentleman. But he's a very quiet person. But you can, every scene, you can just see the anguish of just, like, years of a lifestyle which is just slowly eating away at him as a person. And it's, in that opening scene, it's so obvious that the initial response is him as a professional, which is just to immediately deal with all of the things that would link him to anything. It's just get rid of all of the side things that could possibly get in your way or become, you know, sort of later down the track a problem. Yeah. But you can see the personality in him coming out in the scenes, and it's all so subtly played.
And credit to Clooney. I mean, I've always liked George Clooney.
Yeah.
The man has charisma.
He's hit and miss for me, but he's always a great actor.
Yeah, and he has charisma coming, you know, just drooling out of him. I mean, the man is just so likable as a person. And you watch this film and you can feel every emotion on his face.
Yeah.
You can feel every emotion coming from him, the vibes.
You can see the wear in him just in every
shot. You can feel
the
fear from him when he thinks his life is in threat. You can feel the sorrow in him. This is a man who has obviously been doing this for so long that he just craves contact.
Yeah.
And this is why he inadvertently keeps making friends.
Yeah.
Even though there's no friend rule. You're not supposed to make any friends. He can't help himself.
And also, it's just in the way that, like, when he deals with problems or when he sees that there are people following him and stuff like that, you can just see there's such a tired look. Like, he's just so sick of dealing with this kind of thing. And, look, I mean, he's played the role so perfectly. He works so well at all of the scenes that he's in. George Clooney is one of those great actors that just has got better with age. Mm. And, like, I love him now in this era, the Up in the Airs, the Americans, the stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, this is him at his best. Like,
there is part of me, and I said this to my wife when I came home. There is actually part of me, though, that kind of wishes that along with these films, because I love him doing these films, there is part of me that would like to see him do something light. Because he is a funny guy, and he does do like romantic.
I don't think he's in that place at the moment.
I don't think he's either, but I think he needs it at some point. He needs to go back and do something like a One Fine Day again or something like that with Michelle Pfeiffer, because he needs to just show that that side of him still exists.
Out of sight, even.
Out of sight, something like that, because all of his films at the moment are so browbeaten, so down. They're all like about a person who's not happy. You know, up in the air. He's not happy, you know.
But look, I mean, he's playing that really well. And at the same time, another thing that I just loved about this film is the interaction between the people. It's because it's a movie set with only a few lead characters, you know, a few people you're going to kind of run into on a genuine basis. The relationships between those characters are really important, and I just think they're so beautifully handled. Like, the relationship between him and the Padre, at first, I really did not like him as a character. I felt that his lines are very forced. But when you start to realize that English would literally be a struggle for this person, the scene, there's some scenes where they get quite close, and there's quite a personal relationship.
The scene over dinner is really nice.
Exactly, the scene over dinner. And all of these things, just subtle, small, simple scenes that are only like 30 seconds long, but they just set up the nature of the character and the fact that that's probably the only conversation they would have had over dinner was this 30-second piece of conversation that's really forced, which makes when they have a connection later on in the film so much more beautiful, because it's that obvious realization that there are things about them that they are accepting and aware of. And it's like, I loved him as a character because I loved how he would push to that line but didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. He would push to that line and go, I know what's going on, but that's okay. And basically he's just making him aware, you can talk to me kind of thing. And it's just... Yeah, I fell in love with just the film in general. I can't fault a single moment.
Speaking of falling in love, I also completely fell in love with Violante Placido.
She is just gorgeous.
Not only is she just gorgeous, but she is so charming. I mean, she's just this beautiful, beautiful person and a really good actress. So I immediately went and looked her up because I thought, where'd she come from? And she's actually an Italian pop star.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's an Italian pop star and actress. And... she's just perfect in this role. She is so, the relationship between her and Clooney is so real that you really feel that she could be the one to bring him out of this life. You know, she's this free spirit. She's just gorgeous. You know, I can't stress how gorgeous she is. You know, she's just beautiful. Now, also, boy, can we talk about some really amazingly just open nudity?
Oh, dude, beautiful. Only in Europe.
Only in Europe. Could you be that completely blasé about it. Yep. They arrive at the river and she goes, I'm going swimming. Poof, off goes clothes.
And you know what? God damn it, that is a beautiful thing.
God bless Italy.
Look, fantastic movie. I really, really enjoyed it. I want to say that the ending is incredibly European. I won't say anything more than that.
I think everybody knows what the ending is now.
What, just because it's European? That doesn't say anything. Look, it's a very...
But look, as far as the ending is concerned, we're not going to say what it is, but as far as the ending is concerned, I felt coming out of that movie, it was the only possible conclusion.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you sit there and look at it and go, it's the only place it could have gone.
But I loved how they do it. And I think that's the important thing.
And if the Americans had done it and changed that ending, we would have just gone, oh, it's such a Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, it's more importantly than just a Hollywood or not Hollywood ending. It's an ending which really suits the character. And just the last few moments of emotion are just so powerful because of it. And just how he... works as a person. I just like I'm getting goosebumps right now, man.
The film is scooching into my top five. I think when we actually finally do our top five film of the year, which will be in December, I think this is probably very likely to be in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't, for me personally, it doesn't push Social Network off the number one spot, but it's a damn good film. I mean, it really is a damn good film.
You know? All right, so, cool. Look, done.
Highly recommended, but be aware, it's not the trailer.
Yeah.
If you've only seen that fast-paced trailer, it's not the trailer. It's a languid film. It takes its time. In fact, I said to Josh when we came out that it really...
You know what this is? This is a great film to go watch when you've got a day off and you want to watch a film in the daytime.
Yes.
Because that's really what it was for me.
We saw it during the day.
Yes, no. And I think that's a really important point to people. It's the kind of film you want to spend the rest of the day doing stuff. Don't finish your day with it. It's the kind of film that when you walk out...
You want to come out and have time to think about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Right. I was saying to Josh when we came out, it's very reminiscent, if you've ever seen... This is for the real film buffs out there or the older people. Stephen Frears made a film in the 80s with John Hurt and Terrence Stamp called The Hit, which is about, you know, a couple of hitmen who actually have to drag this John Hurt's character... Sorry, Terrence Stamp's character across the country in Europe. And a lot of the film is just very quiet, in the car, waiting, you know, this... And this film's got the same kind of vibe. Not the same film in any way. Same kind of vibe, though.
Yeah.
So I really dug it. I recommend it to anybody. All right. Good-o.
Yeah.
Two films we enjoyed. How rare is this?
How rare is it for me?
Come on. All right. We're going to move into our lists of five. We're pretty much on time. If we can get through this and quick smart, we'll be all right. Mm. All right. So our list of five this week in relation to Machete.
Yeah.
Basically, five films that could be considered junk food for the brain.
Damn.
Okay. Right. Now, we're not saying bad films. We're just saying junk food for the brains, all right? I said in the little sub-notes here, I said think exploitation film, cheesy comedy, junk action films, crappy horror films, whatever. It doesn't matter. Films that you can basically shut down and just enjoy.
Yeah.
And you can watch them over and over and over again like a good candy bar, okay?
Yeah.
That was kind of the... there it goes. Okay. So that was kind of the brief, and we'll start. Josh, why don't you head us off with number five?
Number five. Oh, hello. Oh, hello.
There we go.
My number five is a film which is absolutely fucking stupid. it is just so dumb, and it is just one of the worst films ever made, but I keep watching it and showing it to people, and I don't know why. But it's just, I think it's because the concept goes beyond ridiculous. It just goes to plain stupefied
ridiculousness. I want to see the movie. What's the movie?
You've seen it, dude.
Oh, okay.
Jason X.
Oh, God.
That film is just so bad, it needs to be watched by everyone.
You have to be careful, though, you know, because this is actually the second time Jason X has come up on the list. Five times it gets vaulted, man.
Damn right. Look, I'm saying, it may happen, dude. It is actually quite special.
All right, James from Melbourne says, number five, The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Can we take notes on this? Can somebody... we need a piece of paper. We need to take...
I got this. I'll note it. Don't worry.
All right. Actually, no, even better than that. Whoever is participating...
Oh, you've got it?
Okay.
Yeah.
And Callison says, number five, Fifth Element.
Okay.
All right, I'll go with both of those. Those are both pretty good. My number five is...
I'm sorry, I don't go with Fifth Element because I'm sorry, but that film is amazing.
No, it is, but it's good junk food. I could watch that over and over and over again.
All right.
Multipass. Number five, I've put down George A. Romero's 1980s classic Knight Riders, which I just absolutely adore. If you haven't seen Knight Riders, and it's really hard to get in this country, so you might have to import it, but if you haven't seen Knight Riders, it's basically a retelling... kind of Arthurian legend where they do jousting off motorbikes.
Oh, dude, no way.
It's so much fun. It's got Ed Harris as the lead. It's basically about a traveling carny who do, like, medieval stuff, but they do all the jousting off motorbikes. It's very cool.
Oh, dude, that's so stupid.
It's so fun.
All right,
Josh, your number four.
My number four is one of those films. It's in between every... It's a film everyone's seen. It's a film that...
Everyone?
I would say almost 90% of the world have seen. It's just, it's dumb fun. You put it on, and I guarantee you that when I say it, there will be at least three people that are listening to this podcast that will go, I have to go rewatch that film. Because it's so good. It is the height of popcorn cinema. I am talking, of course, about Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
Independence Day is just brilliant. Like, it is so stupid and so... It's the rah-rah America movie that we all knew from that era.
I'll just say, I'll come back to that later. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
Delta Knight says, what was the movie David just said? Knight Riders with K-N-I-G-H-T. Okay. Okay. Now, where are we up to? That was your number four. Number four from our chat room. You guys fire those in now, please. My number four is National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, no way.
Which I just love Vacation. In fact, I got to say, it was a real toss-up. I was tossing in National Lampoon's Vacation or Christmas Vacation because I love both of those. I don't like European Vacation in the middle. But National Lampoon's Vacation was one of my favorite lines in cinema history, and I apologize in advance for the language, where she says, Clark, what do you think? And he goes, what do I think? I think you're all fucked in the head. We're gonna have so much fun when we sing in zippity doo da at our assholes. All right, so that's my number four. Oh god, we got a whole bunch of players at this point. Northy says South Park movie. Oh yeah, I love the South Park movie. Canada. James from Melbourne says Reign of Fire. Why didn't I think of Reign of Fire? Fuck. What's the matter?
It keeps deleting Kellison's name because it's not in the English dictionary.
just tap the actual thing.
I know what's wrong.
James from Melbourne says Reign of Fire, the one about dragons with Christian Bale.
I'm good.
And Kellison says The Mummy.
Oh, awesome choice.
Awesome choice. Number three, Josh.
My number three is a film that only recently came to my attention thanks to Dave, and Dave gets all the credit for this. I'm talking about, because we've mentioned this multiple times, I am talking about Flash Gordon.
I think it's the first time on a list, though, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
I think, or is it the second time on a list? I'm not sure, but Flash Gordon, but not just Flash Gordon, Josh. Flash Gordon on Blu-ray. Go, Flash, go. Sorry. No, I love Flash Gordon. I actually purposely didn't put Flash Gordon on my list, even though I could have, because I actually set myself, because you know how I like to set myself rules. I don't know why I do that, but I set myself rules. I actually decided that first rule was I wasn't going to choose anything from the Gloriously Wonderful Bad list. Mm-hmm. Too easy. Yeah. And second thing I set myself was I wasn't going to pick Flash Gordon because I just knew. I knew deep down in my gut that was going to be on your list.
Yeah.
So, okay. Number three from our chat room. Jason from Melbourne says Doom.
Oh, my God. That is popcorn.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Callison says Independence Day, right there with you. Mm-hmm. Delta Knight, you're coming to the... Hold on. We're all confused here now. There's another number three missing.
I think as a rule from this episode on, we should open up a forum post and people can put their list of five in there.
Well, we put it on the forum. You can just add yours to it. That's kind of why we post it.
Because this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, actually, guys, keep track of your posts. When I put up the post of the list of five later today, add your lists.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll read them off as we go because it's kind of fun. Delta Knight says number five. I assume you're saying basketball, not basketball. Basketball, the South Park Boys film. And Delta Knight four, number four says Robin Hood Men in Tights. My number three is Desperado.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Not yet. I love Desperado. Desperado is such nonsense.
It's very silly.
Fun from the beginning to the end. Yeah. I had so much fun watching that film.
Yeah.
All right, your number two.
My number two is such a bad film. Like, and I'm aware it's a bad film, but you know, when I watch it, I just forget that. And like, it's not until I get to the end and it has its very odd final conclusion, including Donald Sutherland in just the only way you will ever see him like this. I just remember at that moment, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm watching this again. I'm watching Virus. And Virus is so silly. It's great.
It's a Jamie Lee Curtis film, isn't
it? Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Sutherland, and a whole bunch of other people just on a boat that's become self-aware. And it's just awesome. If you haven't seen it, find it and watch it. It's so stupid.
It's good. It's good. Okay, number two, Matrix Revolution from Northy.
Yeah.
Number two, Short Circuit 1 from Delta Knight. Oh, I agree with that. Short Circuit 1 is great.
Short Circuit's brilliant.
Callison says Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And James from Melbourne says Van Helsing. Just kidding. Don't kid about that. All right, my number two, reason why I said come back, Independence Day.
Yeah.
You can't get more fun than Independence Day. Yeah. I mean, it's just disengage brain, shovel popcorn into your mouth, and just ignore anything that makes any kind of sense to this film. All right, so your number one, Josh.
Okay, now, not everyone's going to have seen this film, and let me explain a little bit of backstory behind this film. This film is an English film. It's not very high budget. When it comes to dumb films, I've watched this film so much since I originally found it. I found it by accident. This was when I was less legit than I am now. Pretty much everything I own now is legit. This was a film I pulled off someone's hard drive back in the day, ages ago, like when I was very young. I actually now own it on DVD because it's really dumb. But it's really smart at the same time because it's so aware of the fact that it's taking the piss out of itself. Every joke has set up. Everything is really smartly done, even though the film is really stupid. The film's called Severance. And if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It's kind of like... it's part everything you can imagine. It's more horror-ish than anything, so if you're not into horror, stay well clear of it. But it has beheadings, it has deaths, it has laughs and jokes you will never imagine, and there are bits in it that you're just like, that is really, really well done. I would advise everybody to go out and get it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so we got some number ones coming in the chat room now. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's all right. Yeah, that was good fun. That was good junk food.
Starship Troopers. James from Melbourne. Win. Well done. Definitely.
Demolition Man. Callisynth. Very good.
Yeah.
Delta Knight. Hercules Returns.
Get out. Go home.
I don't blame anybody for their choices in this. Everybody has their own particular flavor of junk food.
Not cool.
Some people like KFC. Some people like McDonald's, you know? My number one is Big Trouble in Little China. This is a film that I cannot stop watching.
You're going to get no questioning from me, Dave. That's a fantastic
For me
choice.
Personally, this is a personal favorite. I can't tell you how many times I have watched this film. In fact, my friends and I used to get to a point where every Friday night, back in the late 1980s, we would drink every Friday night. We had the Bourbon Appreciation Society, we used to call ourselves. Every week, we used to have a different bottle of bourbon. We'd get blind drunk watching whatever new releases came out that week, and we always ended up somehow watching Big Trouble in Little China. So every single week, we would watch that movie. I have a real soft spot for it. I just can't help myself. Love. What? Delta!
Delta! Delta! My God, go find it. It's just amazing,
it's
man.
It's on Blu-ray now. Go grab the Blu-ray, man.
It's like $12.
I know, it's fucking awesome.
Delta, we will. I expect from you by next week an explanation of what you thought of that film.
Absolutely.
Okay?
You must watch this film. Was Delta in a coma?
Maybe he was. Let's leave him alone.
He might have just like skipped part of life. Anyway, so there's our list of five. Big Trouble in Little China, awesome. Awesome, awesome. We have a woman PM. Oh. Sorry. To explain that to our audio listeners, as James from Melbourne has says, was Delta in a coma? And then he's responding to Delta saying, we have a woman PM.
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. Delta says he'll watch it tonight. Do so. Okay. It's your homework.
Yeah.
Everybody must watch Big Trouble in Little China at least once in life.
Yeah.
It is a super fun film. But remember, like our topic of the day, really, don't expect serious cinema out of it. It is a rollicking ride, and that's all it's meant to be.
All right,
we're going to get out of here. We're done. Let's get out of here. We're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to say agree or disagree with anything that we have to say with our reviews, hate our choice in movies, hate our top five, whatever. I don't care. Send it to us. Let us know. Feedback at geekactually.com. Drop us a voicemail, Sydney number 02801131367. Let us hear your opinion on things. If you've got any recommendations about something you might want us to review, we like doing retro reviews every now and again. So let us know. Get your Geek Actually swag, t-shirts like this one, or mugs like this fine mug. Okay, you can get these sort of things at cafepress.com.au, /geekactually. You can also follow our fan page on facebook.com/geekactually. Do remember to check out our other shows. Just prior to recording this fine film show, we do record a fine tech show. And after this fine film show, we record a fine after show called Geek Actually. You can find all of these on iTunes. Or go to our website, geekactually.com. You can find all the back episodes. Josh, I believe you have something to do with some sort of site. How's that? I happen to have a slide for it.
RawDLC.com. Gaming, just knowledge in general. We also do occasional entertainment pieces and just stuff. Whatever we find on the internet that is funny and we think you guys should watch it. We also have a live show which goes out Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Australian time. Come watch us. And more importantly, I have a mustache. And if you're wondering why I'm bringing that to your attention, it's because if you are new to the show and you have a few bucks in your account, we are making a drive this year and probably every year from now on for Movember, which is where we push for the Movember concept, which is awareness of men's health. We raise money for things like prostate cancer and depression in men. If you have a few bucks, please sling it to us on the site, rawdlc.com. Up in the top right-hand corner, there is a donate button. Or if you want to get in contact with us to send us anything, movember@rawdlc.com. If you want to join up or whether you want to become a part of our group and get money for yourself and give it to us that way.
Fantastic. Mm. All right. And we also want to have a quick shout out to some of our friends around the internet. We like to just help promote each other. We're all smaller podcasts and we all like to help each other out. So we're going to just say that if you do like this fine podcast about movies, you might also like these boys. This is the Movie Fan Cast and their other podcast, Right This Instant. And on this slide, it doesn't have it, but they also have one called The Talking Dead Cast, which is all about the Walking Dead series. It's a limited series. You can find them on iTunes. Just search for the shows Movie Fan Cast, Right This Instant, or Talking Dead Cast, or just go to moviefanhouse.com and you can find all their stuff. We also would like to tell you about our friends over at the Real Junkies podcast, REEL. You can find them on iTunes, Real Junkies, or go to weekendronan.com to find back episodes and find out more about them. They're also a lot of fun to listen to. We also have a quick shout out to our cartoonist who did our fine graphics for us. He is at attackninja.blogspot.com. His name is Josh Spencer. Go check his artwork out. He's very good. I think that's it. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Just one last thing. Sorry, I forgot to say. I should say, if you wonder what is about slides, talking, chat rooms, etc. We go out live. We go out live. We start recording our record day at 12 p.m. every Saturday, 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. We record three shows back to back, basically. We go Tech Actually, Film Actually, and the Geek Actually After Show, and then we cut them up and put them out onto audio feeds. But if you want to join the chat room, have a bit of fun, watch the pictures and stuff as we go, then you can come and join our chat room. Just go to geekactually.com/live, and you can join in on all of the fun. And if there's nothing more to say, Josh, did you want to promote that Twitter site now that you figured it out?
No, Dog Meat with a 3 instead of an E. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter.
Fine, and I'm David McVeigh on Twitter, so you can follow us both there. And I'm going to say goodbye to everybody, and as customary on the show, we don't have, unfortunately, this week, we don't have any of the music from Machete or The American, because neither soundtrack has been released yet. Damn. So we're just going to go out with our theme this week, so I do apologize about that. But I am going to say, in the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies, and we'll see you all next week.